I think I'm going to have to sing tomorrow night. It's going to be a great disappointment after that good singing. Amen. I sure appreciate the opportunity to be here. I sure hope the Lord will help us to be a blessing to you folks tonight. We have just finished eating supper. Thank you so much, by the way, for the meal. It's a great blessing. I don't full stomach, try to preach. Amen. You're blessed. Turn with us, if you will, to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, if you will. We went over several things today. I think I prepared to preach about three different messages, and I sure hope that this is the right one. Psalm 90, I'm just going to read one verse, and we'll pray together, and we'll come back and get quite a few of these verses as we go. But Psalm 90 and verse number 12, Psalm 90, verse number 12, the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this afternoon. Thank you for the good day that you've given us. Thank you for this church and what a blessing that they've been to us this week. Thank you for Brother Brown, his family, their ministry. It's been a blessing to me. Thank you for that. I pray you'd help us. Lord, I sure need your help. Now for the next few minutes, Lord, I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to this church. And pray you'd help us, Lord, to say the things that are pleasing to you. And help us, Lord, to refrain from saying anything that would be contrary to your word or your will or your way. We pray. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. There are 150 psalms. The Psalms have been divided into five books. Each one of those books represented one book of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. Psalm 90 is the psalm that begins the fourth book of those Psalms. The Psalms are full of prayers, but Psalm 90 is titled a prayer. There are five psalms that bear the title of a prayer. I'll tell you what they are. There's Psalm 17, Psalm 86, Psalm 90, Psalm 102, and Psalm 142. So three of those five psalms that have or bear the title of a psalm are Psalms of David. One of those psalms is a psalm of the afflicted. And this psalm, Psalm 90, if you look at the preface or the introduction to the psalm, it says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. It is the only psalm that is ascribed to Moses. Now Psalm 90 is about time. Time past, time present, time future. So what we accomplish or what we fail to accomplish in our lives will have much to do with what we do with the gift of time that God has given us. We either master our minutes or we become slaves to them. We can waste our time that God has given us and wonder why we don't have enough time, or we can make wise use of the time that God has given us, and that will lead to bringing honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. So the question is, what do you do with your time? Is the Lord part of your daily schedule? Is the Lord part of your daily routine? Is the Lord, does He have a large chunk or any amount of your time that you have during the day? William Penn said this. He said, "Time is what we want most, but use the worst." This psalm, Psalm 90, puts time into perspective. It speaks to the source and the swiftness of time in our lives and concludes with some wisdom about how we should spend our time. Now, if you notice in Psalm 90, in verse number 12, the verse that we use for our text, the verse begins with the word "so." It says, "So teach us to number our days." I think this is really interesting. It doesn't say number your years. It doesn't say number your months. It doesn't say number your weeks. It says to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So today is the day that we need to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Listen, this is something that is too important for us to put off, to a more convenient time. If we haven't already dedicated our lives to trying or striving to be pleasing to the Lord and to serve the Lord with our life and our time, may the Lord help us to do that today. You notice the verse says, if you notice, our text verse begins with the word so. We know that that word is a coordinating conjunction. And those, they connect words, they connect phrases, they connect clauses. And so I want to take a brief look. I can't take time to take a lengthy look, but I want to take a look at all these verses preceding verse number 12 and put this verse into context. And then I want to preach, if I can, on redeeming the time, redeeming the time. We do that by applying our hearts unto wisdom. So the first thing that we see in verses 1 and 2 of the psalm is the security and the source of time. The Bible says this in verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, we made mention, this psalm is accredited to or ascribed to Moses. And so Moses begins this psalm by pointing us to God. Moses made mention of the fact here, I think, that he knew that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah had no certain dwelling place. He said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years with the children of Israel. He spent 40 years before that on the backside of the desert tending the sheep. But wherever we are, we can dwell safely if we dwell there with the Lord. The Lord is our place of safety, our place of security. Moses understood that, Lord, you're our God. You're in control. You're the creator. And he made mention of the fact, referring to the fact in verse number 2, that you always have been, you always will be God. Generation after generation has recognized these truths, that peace and security are found in you, and you alone are our dwelling place. So, second thing we see in verse number 3, we see the soil to which we return. In verse number 3, he said, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. You see, death is certain, but the time of our death is uncertain. That's why we must apply our hearts unto wisdom. When our lives end, our bodies return to the dust from which we came. Our soul, however, lives on forever, depending on what we have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ will live eternally with Him. What a great blessing that'll be. But friend, those that die without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God. And so time is a gift that God has given for us to make a decision to accept Christ. And if we accept Christ, the time that we have is a time to live for Him. In fact, Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, for me to live and to die is gain. I hope that this is the desire of your life. I hope that this is the goal of your life. I want to live my life for Christ. And when, by doing so, dying will be gained. This is applying your heart to wisdom, that while you are living for Christ, and when you die, you understand that it will be gained. In verse number 4, we see the scale of time with God. In verse 4, he said, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Moses said that 1,000 years is like yesterday or a watch in the night. Now, he is speaking of the swiftness of time to God. Peter also referred to God's scale of time in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8, where he said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Let's think about this. Time is nothing to God, but time is everything to you and I. It is difficult for us to think about time or to think in terms of eternity, but we must, because our soul depends on it. Now, I thought about, and I even studied quite a bit today, and I thought about preaching from Psalm 39, which is actually what led me to Psalm 90. But Psalm 39, the Bible says this in verse number 5, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity." David said, "My days are as an handbreadth." That's not very much, amen. "And mine age is as nothing before thee." In our very best state, we're altogether vanity. I want you to think about this, if you will. The average lifespan of man, according to the Bible, is 70. And if the Bible says that one day is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, it would take over 14 of our lifetimes to make one day with the Lord. And so we see the scale of time with God. Now, let's look at something else. Look at verses 5 through 7 and verse number 10. We'll see the swiftness and struggle of our lives. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered, for we are consumed." Now, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, word consumed means wasted. It means burned. It means destroyed. It means squandered. And it says, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled." Skip down to verse number 10. "For the days of our years are 70 years." We know that a score is 20, so if math is still counted the way it was when I was in school, 60. You add 10 to that, that is 70. So the Bible says then, "And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, or 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Many times in my life I have heard the expression that time flies, and it certainly does. It is very true. If the Lord doesn't return soon, our bodies, which may be flourishing now, some of you are in your youth and your body is flourishing, and some of you are growing a little bit older, but someday, our life is going, our bodies are beginning to fade like the grass, and it's going to soon be cut down. So 70 years are given to most, but there is no guarantee at all that any of us will make it to that age. Unless you're already that age, you pretty well got that covered. Now, we have no guarantee that we're going to live to be 70 years old. By the way, I'm getting really close to that. I'm getting closer to that every year. I remember when I used to think 30 was old, and now 70 is not even old anymore, amen. The Bible says in Psalm 89, in verse number 7, it says, "Remember how short my time is." Solomon said in Proverbs 27, in verse number 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The Bible speaks repeatedly about the swiftness of life to remind us of the importance of making our lives count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Job 14:2, the Bible says, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." 1 Peter 1:24, the Bible says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." In James 4, in verse 14, the Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You remember our text verse? "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now, here's a fifth thing. Look at verse number 8. "Our secret sin is made known to God." We're talking about our time, applying our hearts to wisdom. Verse number 8 says, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sin in the light of thy countenance." Now, listen, our sins may be our secret. We can hide them from our parents. We can hide them from our teachers. We can hide them from our pastors. We can hide them from our spouses. But we cannot hide them from God.
even though many believe that they can hide from God, or many believe that because they have not yet been punished because of their past sins, maybe they feel like that they have gotten away with their sin. Friend, let me assure you that you haven't gotten away with anything. I haven't gotten away with anything. None of us are getting away with anything. This live for now generation philosophy that the world has developed is leading to destructive consequences. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Listen, I've been forgiven of many things. I praise the Lord for that. But I haven't gotten away with anything. I thank God for mercy. And I thank God for forgiveness. Now, in verse number 9, we see the story of our lives. Verse number 9 says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath." Notice this phrase. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And so our lives are like a story, or like a tale that is told. So here's the question. What is the story of your life? What is the story of your life? Is the story of your life going to be one of rebellion and one of defiance toward God? Or is it going to be one that is going to be remembered for bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? When your life is over, what will people remember about your life? When you approach the end of your life, will you be able to rejoice that you have lived out your days in service for the Lord? Or will you be in a state of pain and agony, mentally or depressed somewhat, because you have wasted all of your time and you've wasted your life? I remember some time ago, I think it was back in May of this year, there was a good friend of mine. He passed away in January. His name was Rayton Puckett. He was a preacher. He preached on the radio for almost 70 years, 68 years, I believe it was. He was 93, I think, when he died. He was a very well-known preacher in our area. And I heard him preach. It was ironic. I was preaching in Virginia Beach, and I was going to preach this message, and I was listening to the radio on my cell phone because I know that Sunday morning schedule on our local radio station, and I knew that Brother Rayton would be preaching. And he made mention during his sermon that Sunday morning about a phone call that he received when he was pastoring. One of the men in his church, his health had gotten real bad. He didn't have a lot of days left to live. And he called Brother Rayton, and he wanted to come see him. And he was in great distress, and he was very upset. And Rayton was, you know, kind of concerned. He had known this man for many years. So he said, "I took my Bible and I went over there and I wanted to read some scripture, be a blessing to him." And he said, Why are you so upset? I don't understand. You have a good testimony of salvation. You've lived a good life all these years that I've known you." And he said, "Preacher, I have wasted my life. I am at the point of death. I'm at the time where I'm going to be crossing over. And I'm embarrassed about what I have done and what I have not done for the Lord." Listen, friend, I want to encourage you today to apply your hearts unto wisdom. I'm 55 years old, and I'm embarrassed at how much of my time in my life that I have wasted. The Bible says in our text verse, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now, look at verse number 11. We'll see the survey of our days. Verse number 11 says, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." Now, we cannot completely comprehend the power of God's anger towards our sinfulness. God turned His back on His own Son when our sin was placed upon Him. But because of the judgment of God and the swiftness of our lives, we may need to make sure that each day we live our lives in such a way that's pleasing to God. Now, we've made it to our text verse, "So teach us to number our days." The word "number," it is, I know you know these definitions, it's simple, but I want to remind you. The word "number" means to count. It means to appoint. It means to prepare. It means to commit, to be counted or accountable. It means to reckon or to realize. Man, we need to count, we need to number our days. We need to prepare. We need to be counted or accountable. We need to reckon or to realize that we don't know how many more days we have. We don't know how we have no idea if we have years left or if we have months left or if we only have days left. Whatever time that I want to have left, I want to be using it for the Lord. I don't want to be wasting it. Amen. Now, this is Moses. We're talking about Moses. We're not talking about a man who is a morbid and living in fear of death and counting his days and anticipating and dying. In fact, the Bible tells us concerning Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 17. The Bible says that Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force obeyed him. And so the purpose of this message and this psalm is that considering how short time is, it may be redeemed and the heart applied unto wisdom. This is wisdom, amen, to buy up all the opportunities that we have in living for God and doing things for God, that none of our fleeing years will be wasted. We need to realize just how few days we have to live, because counting time is not nearly important as making our time count for the Lord. I don't believe that we'd be doing this text any harm at all if we said that this verse is talking about making our life count for Christ. Please, friend, I beg you, do not waste your life. The dying words of Queen Elizabeth I were these. She said, "All of my possessions will I give for a moment of time." Now, there are several things about that quote that got my attention. She didn't say a few of my possessions or some of my possessions. She said all of my possessions. Look, she didn't ask for a week. She didn't ask for a day. She said, "I would give everything that I have for a moment of time." Unfortunately, we cannot buy more time. Not one more day. Not one more hour. Not one more minute. And it is for this reason that we need to make our lives count for Christ. You see, our life here, time here, is a dressing room for eternity. What you do with your life now, the decisions that you're making concerning the Lord and the life that you're living are going to have a bearing upon us throughout all eternity. Now listen, this is not a book recommendation, and it's certainly not a book endorsement. The man's doctrine is off, all kinds of stuff. I'm not endorsing the book, but I'm going to give the man credit for this. I did find this very interesting by Leslie Weatherhead, who pastored the City Temple in London for 25 years. He wrote a book entitled Time for God. In this book, Weatherhead helps us to number our days by mathematically calculating a one-day lifetime. For a person living an average lifespan, using the biblical lifespan mentioned in verse number 10 of our passage, 70 years, where the Bible says the days of our years are 70 years and 10. He used that as a lifetime, and he came up with this lifespan, this calculation of a one-day lifespan. And his calculations are actually only for the waking hours of 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., so only covering 17 hours on a 24-hour clock. And so I've brought with me this afternoon a clock. And I want to show you, according to his calculations, what time it is according to your age. He began at 6 a.m. and he went to 11 p.m. So 6 a.m. would be the time of your birth, your physical birth. Now he skipped all the way to age 15 before we have record of his first calculation. And it's fascinating how much time goes off of this clock just by the time you reach the age of 15. If you're 15 years old, look, I haven't stopped yet. If you're 15 years old, it is 10:25 in the morning. Time passes swiftly. If you're 21 years old,
It is 11:34. At 20 years old, you are almost into the afternoon hours already. At 25 years old, you are already in the afternoon. It is 12:42. Let me back that up. I don't want to make you older than that if you're that age. If you're 30 years old, it is 1:55 p.m. I'm sorry, 1:51. If you are 30 years old, it is 1:51 p.m. If you're 35 years old, it is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Life is swift, isn't it? If you're 40, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're 45, it's 5:16 p.m. If you work, a lot of folks work a job, they get off at 5 o'clock. It's 5:16 if you're 45 years old. If you're 50, it's 6:25 in the afternoon. Swiftly, swiftly passing. If you're 55 years old, this is how old I am today. If you're 55 years old, it is 7:34. Let me back that up. I want to get every minute. If you're 55 years old, it is 7:34. If you're 60 years old, it's 8:42. If you're 65, it's 9:51. He only went to 70. So if you're over 70, you're living in those years that the Bible talked about, up to 80, or maybe you're older. The Lord's been good to you. What a blessing. If you're 55 years old, if you're 70 years old, it's 11 p.m. And that's how far his study went, for 17 hours. From the waking hours of 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., he used that clock to show your age. We need to look at that clock and live each day to the fullest for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One thing we can say for sure about this clock, one thing we can learn from a clock like this, is that we can tell it's active because it keeps its hands busy. Hands keep moving. Amen. Time passes by keeping his hands busy. Let's stay busy for God. Now, we have successfully identified the problem as not using our time wisely. So how do we apply our hearts unto wisdom? So according to the context of this psalm, we'll say by redeeming the time. So how do we redeem the time? So all that's introduction. I just got to the message. And I won't preach too long, but we need to apply our hearts unto wisdom. The word apply means to make use of or to put to use. I guess it's a cheesy example maybe, but and you know what the word apply means, but you go out in the sun. My wife fusses at me all the time because I don't do it, and I'm paying the price for it. She's always telling me to apply sunscreen when I'm out in the sun. You rub it in, you rub it on, you apply it. We need to apply our lives to the work of God to prevent our works being burned at the judgment seat of Christ. So how do we apply our lives? How do we redeem the time? First of all, by realizing the shortness of life. Our text verse number 12, says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now we've already dealt with this first point in the sermon, in the introduction, but I want to take a look at Psalm 39 for just a moment. Come to Psalm 39, if you will. I only have 4 points. I'll go through them quickly. Well, I want to encourage you to redeem the time, to apply your hearts to wisdom. Look at Psalm 39, verse number 3. David said, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." David is musing. He's thinking or he's meditating. And while he's doing that, he asks the Lord to remind him of how short his time is and how frail he is. But I just want to this afternoon remind you how brief life is, how frail that we are, how we don't have any idea how much time that we have left. I want you to understand the shortness of life. David is doing that. David immediately proclaims that his trust is in the Lord. And look what he does. I don't have this on my notes, but I look right here at Psalm 39. Look what David does after he is meditating and he makes this statement. He immediately begins to ask for forgiveness. Look at this. Look at Psalm 39. Look at verse number 6. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who giveth them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Now look what he does. Verse 8. Deliver me from all my transgressions and make me not the reproach of the foolish. I tell you, realizing the brevity of life, the shortness of life will cause you to keep short accounts with God. David begins asking deliverance from transgressions. Listen, there are many, many other Bible references on the brevity of life. So first of all, how do we apply our hearts unto wisdom? How do we redeem the time? By realizing the shortness of life. Come to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Number two, by youthful reverence. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, look at verse number 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Listen, you can live your life any way you please. You can follow your own heart. You can be filled with the lust of your eyes, but you better understand one thing, that God is going to bring it into judgment. Listen, it would serve you very well to apply your heart unto wisdom. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years not draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen, serve God while you're young. Serve God while you're able. Serve God while you have the health and ability. My mom has always encouraged me to live for God. My dad's recently passed away, and my mom has always been, even the last 3 years of my dad's life, she's taken care of him. And she would always, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm doing this, our church involved. And she would always say, son, do all that you can for the Lord, because one day you're not going to physically be able to do the things that you're doing now. Live your life for God. Serve the Lord while you can. Son, do all you can while you're able, because there's coming a time when you can't. Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:3, in the day, look, just I'm gonna just read these verses. In the day when thy keeper, when the keepers of thy house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened. Listen, your knees are shaking, and the man that was once strong is now bowed over. Brother David and I were just talking just a little bit at supper just a few moments ago. One of the hardest things about seeing my dad's health take the turn that it did is I one time looked up to him as this strong, healthy man and doing all these things, and then their health, all these things began to come to pass. Their knees began to shake, and they began to bend over. And listen, I'm not making light or of anything. If there's anything in your health, please understand me. I'm compassionate about that, but you need help to get around. You need a cane. You need a walker. You're shaky. You're not stable. Your teeth fall out. Your eyes grow dim. Verse 4 said, the doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Here in verse number 4, his hearing isn't what it used to be, and he's no longer able to sleep consistently. And listen, it just goes on and on and on. For sake of time, I won't read all of that, but I tell you, listen, life takes a turn. While you're able, while you're healthy, while you have the ability, don't waste your time doing nothing. Do something for the Lord. Now, youthful reverence. Now, number three, come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Come at redeeming the time applying our hearts unto wisdom. We do that by realizing the shortness of life. We do that by youthful reference. Number three, we do that by choosing heavenly duties over earthly duties. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, notice the phrase, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now, I promise you here, the apostle is not condemning marriage. That would be a contradiction to Scripture. He isn't suggesting that we neglect our spouses either, amen. Paul is speaking with great confidence, and he says, but this I say, brethren, the time of your life is short. It's brief. It plainly follows that even they that have wives, we should be as serious, we should be as zealous, we should be as active, we should be as dead to the world and as devoted to God as all in all holy manner of life and conversation as we would be if we were not married or if we didn't have a spouse. Listen, don't think of your spouse as a reason to neglect serving God. Find ways to serve God together. I guess one of the greatest joys of my life is that I have been able to serve the Lord with my wife. It's a tremendous blessing. We get to serve the Lord together. Look at verse number 30. And they that weep as though they wept not, they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Listen, don't abuse the things of this world that have been placed here for our good and for our enjoyment and for our convenience, because all of these worldly commodities are going to pass away one day. I've been pastoring for several years now, and I know many couples and young families who they cannot give any of their time, they can't give any of their money to support or serve the ministries of the church. They're so bogged down with things that they can't afford, and they're in so much debt, they have to work all this overtime, and they don't have time to participate in the extra church activities. They're not involved in any church ministries. And some of the ones that's not in debt, they got their kids and all kinds of stuff. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying, you better take time to live for God. Because you only have one life to live, and life is short, and time is short, and we don't have much of it, and it's going to be a horrible... You say, preacher, it doesn't matter. I promise you, when you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, every single one of us are going to wish we would have done without a few of these conveniences, and we'd have let a few of those things that we enjoyed go, and we'd have spent just a little bit more time serving our wonderful Savior. I promise you. Remember the text. So teach us to number our days, and may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Please listen to this statement. Wisdom would be that if it were necessary for me to have less of this world's material things so that I could give more of my time and money to serve the Lord, that I would understand the wisdom in doing that. Number four, how do I apply my heart unto wisdom? By serious living. Come to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. Ephesians 15, verse number 5. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now we have a contrast in this verse. Don't walk foolish, walk wisely. Circumspectly means to walk watchful, walk carefully, walk diligently. There's many examples we could give for that, but just let me say this. Don't fool around, be running around, living your life carelessly. Be wise, amen. Have some wisdom. It's healthy, and it may keep you alive, and it'll help you to live for God. The idea here is that we take special pains to guard against the temptations around us to live our lives circumspectly for the Lord Jesus Christ and not as fools. Ephesians 5, look at verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Listen, there's no time to waste. The days are already evil. We need to stop whatever it is, stop whatever you're doing, whatever you're involved in that's foolish, and start living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin redeeming the time by walking circumspectly. This is wise. This is applying your heart to wisdom. Now look, I do have one more. I'll be done. Come to Colossians chapter 4. I'm watching the time. Colossians chapter 4. Number 5, how do we redeem the time? By being a consistent example to the world. Colossians 4, verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now listen, I'll make a statement right here that take you a minute to get it, but you will. I believe that one reason so many people are lost is because of so many who are saved. What do you mean by that, preacher? I believe there is a large number of folks who have placed their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And that's a blessing. Thank God for it. They're saved, and as the preacher preached last night, they're saved for all eternity. But it's never been important enough for them to live their life for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might use their time redeeming others, or as the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, being an ambassador for Christ, reconciling the world unto God. May the Lord help us to live that kind of life. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8 says this, "This is a faithful saying of these things, I will thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Listen, we're running out of time. I didn't come here to discourage you. I didn't come here to cause you to feel bad. But I did come here to tell you the truth. We're running out of time. We're dying. And not only are we dying, they're dying. And may God help us to be busy telling people about Jesus. We need to walk in wisdom toward them. They need the gospel. May the Lord help us to wise up and get busy redeeming the time. Folks are going to hell all around us while we're busy walking as fools. Verse number 6, and I'm done. Colossians 4, verse number 6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Listen, we need to have grace with folks. We need to be compassionate. We need to take some time. And I understand that the gospel is offensive, but we must expound the truth unto them, redeeming the time. Listen, I don't know how much time any of us have. Whatever time it is that you do have, I hope you'll use it doing something for the Lord. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the reminder. Could have been. The entire message was to remind me. Thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord.